Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to give part 2 of what we began last week on being thankful for the oft unappreciated God. Being thankful for the oft unappreciated God as we turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 18 through 21. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Notice this now, verse 20, giving thanks always. Let's read that again. You can read silently. I'll read it out loud. Giving thanks always. Now let's notice the next three words, for all things. Let's put it all together. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Please bless tonight our Father in this study. I pray it be profitable to us. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. We're talking tonight about the importance of being grateful and having gratitude in our hearts. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. There are certain things that the Holy Spirit will do in us. A Spirit-filled believer will have joy. A Spirit-filled believer will have peace. Now, joy does not mean there isn't sorrow. We understand that, right? Joy doesn't mean there isn't heartache. Joy doesn't mean we don't experience sadness. We are in the flesh and we are in the infirmities of the flesh. Jesus wept, right, at the funeral of Lazarus, and I believe he wept out of compassion. I really believe, as I've studied that out, when Jesus wept at the scene of Lazarus, I believe there was the human side of him that was compassionate. Jesus grew weary. Jesus grew tired. Jesus had to replenish himself. He never was sinning when he did these things. There are some things that are a part of the human flesh. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed in such anxiety and stress that he literally was sweating blood, and it is possible, medically speaking, for someone, but it means extreme anguish of soul to be able to sweat where it's like blood coming out of you. That tells you the human side of him was very, very real. So just because we talk about having joy doesn't mean you're not going to also have, but what it means is joy despite sorrow, joy despite discouragement, joy, you follow me? And we also have comfort despite loneliness, comfort despite weariness, comfort despite and hope despite and love despite and forgiveness despite. So the Holy Spirit of God will give us these positive attributes. Now, we still live in this body of sin. We live in the flesh. And that flesh is going to work against the Spirit. So it doesn't mean these things are going to be eradicated while we're on this side of heaven. None of us will ever get to the point of sinless perfection. But ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit of God is our birthright. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He gives us His gifts and His power that override, if you will, that help us overcome, if you will, the infirmities of the flesh, that He can live through us despite the challenges we go through in life. Now, gratitude, being grateful, being thankful. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, amen, the Holy Spirit will help us to be thankful. And thankful people will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we want to be thankful for the oft unappreciated God. We talked last week that the control of the Holy Spirit results in gratitude. And I won't take more time tonight, but when the Holy Spirit of God is in control, it will result in gratitude. He'll help us to be grateful. And secondly, we looked at last week, I believe, a commitment to God's Word results in gratitude. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look in just very quickly again. So when we're controlled of the Holy Spirit of God, He will help us to be grateful. We'll be grateful for all things and all ways. He'll put that inside of us. It's not going to be conditional. It's not going to be based upon circumstances. It's not going to be based upon feelings. The gratitude the Lord allows us to have, it allows us to be grateful unto Him. There's always so much, if we stop and allow the Lord to work in our hearts, there's always so many things that we can genuinely thank the Lord for. If not the positive, there is the negative. Thank you, God, that I'm not starving tonight. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, whatever, even if you're struggling with the positives of life, you know, think about some people that you and I know that are experiencing much more negative than we are. And not that we're glad they're going through that, but you can be thankful that right now, at least at this point, you're not in that situation, or at least you're here where you're at right now. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, in order for that to happen, we got to put it inside of us. We've got to be spending time, and I know I've said this a lot, and I don't mean to keep harping on it, but boy, we've got to stay in our Bibles. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, once said, when I pray, I'm talking to God, but when I read the Bible, God is talking to me. I've often found when I am struggling spiritually in any area, no matter what it is, when my emotions are not lining up with where I know I need to be, I get my Bible more. I just get my Bible more. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know I'm retaining a whole lot. I don't know that I'm creating Sunday school lessons during that time. I don't know that I'm getting sermon material during that time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. But God is speaking to me, and the Word of God is coming into me richly. There is something. And now, do I want to do that? Do I want to be reading my Bible during those times? Absolutely not. When my emotions aren't where they need to be, and my mind is not where it needs to be, and my flesh is not where it needs to be, do I want to be in my Bible at that time? Absolutely not. So you say, well, are you making yourself read your Bible then? Yes. You know, but because you're making yourself, you know, you think God is going to be pleased with that? I believe so, because I'm doing it by faith. I'm not doing it by feeling. I'm saying, God, I know I need to be in my Bible. I don't want to be in my Bible. I'm going to be reading it. I'm probably not going to get anything out of it. But God, I know I need it. So by faith, I'm going to the Word of God, and I'm going to read and read and read. And what I'll do sometimes is determine an amount of time, not an amount of Bible, but an amount of time that I know I need to read. And just read and read and read. And read. But I'll tell you what happens. I don't know that there's ever a time where somewhere in that Bible reading session that my heart doesn't begin to burn. And my mind all of a sudden begins to get settled. And there's a calmness and a gratefulness all of a sudden comes into me. See, the Word of God will help us to be grateful. It goes on to say, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does the Bible say? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let me give you a third here tonight. We talked about being spirit controlled will result in gratitude. A commitment to God's word will result in gratitude. And then let me say number three, a peaceful heart results in gratitude. A peaceful heart results in gratitude. Stay in the same chapter, Colossians 3, but if you look at verse 15, Colossians 3 verse 15, this is an amazing verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Now continuing this thought, these two, the peace of God in our hearts and the last part of this verse are directly connected, and be ye thankful. A Christian is the only one who has peace with God. We understand that. We're the only ones who have peace with God. A believer is also the only one who can have the peace of God. We have peace with God through salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross, died for our sins. We received His salvation by faith. We've received His pardon by faith. We are justified from the penalty of our sins, just as if I never sinned. So we have peace with God. That's why we have peace about death. That's why we can have peace about eternity. We can say that I know that I know that I know that I know that when I die, I'm going going to go to heaven. Why? I have peace with God. But not only do we have peace with God, but the Bible says we have the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. Now in this verse, peace and gratitude are directly related to one another. That word rule in that verse where it says, let the peace of God rule, where it says, rule in your hearts. The word rule is the idea of to serve as an umpire, to be the director or supervisor, to serve as an authority in making decisions and determinations. So the peace of God, the peace of God is supposed to determine what comes in my mind, what comes in my heart. If something is troubling my spirit, it's not good. If something is getting in the way of the peace that I have with God, it's not good. Let the peace of God be my umpire. Let it be the supervisor. Let it be the security guard or the person that you first meet when you go into a government building. You go into a public building anymore, their security isn't there. Yeah. And you have to take out stuff out of your wallet and you gotta take your pockets and your purses and all of that. That security wants to make sure that nothing goes in that doesn't belong inside. So that there's safety, that there isn't someone going in that's gonna terrorize or threaten other people's lives. So that security is there to protect everything else on the inside. The peace of God, if you will, serves as security. It's security in our hearts and our minds. Everything begins in the heart and mind of a believer. Every sin begins in the heart and mind. Every bad action, every sinful activity, everything that can go wrong begins in the heart and mind. So the peace of God is that security guard that stands right there in the entry gate of our heart and minds. And if anything violates the peace of God and troubles my mind or troubles my heart or goes against the peace of God, I'm not supposed to let it go in. Because it can get in and cause me to think things I'm not supposed to think, which thoughts lead to actions. And actions have consequences. So if I don't think something, then I'm not going to act a certain way. But all actions first are a thought. And so I need to make sure I guard my thoughts. Let the peace, the Bible says, let. This is the instruction for us to let. The instruction rather for us to let indicates that we have control over to who we give control over to. We have control. Let. We control that. Allow the peace of God. Let the peace of God. It's a decision that we make, and it's a birthright that we have. So you and I need to allow the peace of God. We need to be the ones to make sure on purpose we are allowing the peace of God to be the guardian of our heart and minds, to be the umpire of our hearts and minds, to be the security of our heart and minds. The great Bible commentator from many years ago, Albert Barnes, said this: the soul is liable to the agitations of passion and excitement, like an assembled multitude of men, like a mob. You know, mobs get excited. They get all worked up beyond reason. It needs something to preside over it and keep it its various faculties in place and order. And nothing is so well fitted to do this as the calm peace which religion gives, a deep sense of the presence of God, the desire and the evidence of His friendship, the hope of His favor, and the belief that He has forgiven all our sins. The peace of God will thus calm down every agitated element of the soul, subdue the tumult of passion, and preserve the mind in healthful action and order. As a ruler sways and controls the passions of assembled multitudes of people. I'll give you an example. I'm an old Western buff. Please forgive me if that's probably my one vice. I love those old Westerns. And you always know the good guys are going to win, and you always know who the bad guys are and who the good guys are and all of that kind of stuff. Well, there are times where there's a mob lynching in these old Westerns where, you know, somebody wants to get somebody who's in jail. They killed my brother, and we're not going to wait for some judge to come here and to have a trial. You know, a month later we're wasting good money and we're wasting, you know, all this, and we know he's going to get tried and he's going to be guilty and he's going to get hung anyway, so why wait? So, you know, we need to go in there and go and get him out and hang him ourselves. And you have that guy goes into the saloon and he gets everybody all liquored up and all that, and you know, he's a murderer, and everybody's all riled up. Now, yeah, we need to go and storm the jail and get him out and hang the man and all of a sudden now you got 40 guys. Now we're all liquored up and they're shooting in the sky and they're going to go and charge the jail and get the sheriff out of the way and break into the jail cell and get a rope and string him up. Isn't this pretty exciting?
Hell rider.
And so, you know, so what happens, all of a sudden you've got this big mob and they're all unruly and they're all wanting to take charge. And I mean, these men who normally would not do such a thing, who normally would not be given to murder, this is murder, they would normally not even think about doing that. But now they're all liquored up, they're all worked up, they're all emotionally, they're all worked into a frenzy. They're beyond thinking. And they're all going to en masse do something really wrong. And all comes this big sheriff with his double barrel shotgun. Boys, can I help you? The first guy that comes 5 feet within this jail, I'm going to blast him to kingdom come. You're going to be first slam, you know what I mean? And maybe even has to shoot one of the guys. Boom! You shot him. I told you I was going to shoot him. I may not be able to get all of you, but I can get some of you. Now, boys, just go on home and calm down. And you got the sheriff, and he kind of just gets everybody calmed down and gets everybody to relax. Because they're all worked up. They've allowed themselves to get all worked up. And now they're acting on these emotions gone awry. And they're going to regret it. But they calm down, and they go home, and he goes in, and you go to commercial break. And he says, go have the doctor take the bullet out of his leg. You know, he's a real good guy. And I'll pay for it. Now, what happens is, life rushes us like a mob sometimes. It just does. Circumstances at work can rush you like a mob. Relationships can rush us like a mob. Health and finances can rush us like a mob. Ministry, serving the Lord, trying to do right, trying to live the Christian life can rush you like a mob. Our children, trying to raise them right, and the struggles that go along with that. And then you add to that this, and you add to that the other. And all of a sudden now you got a mob in your life, and it's like rushing you all at once and saying, we're going to go in there, and we're going to... And you got all this going on. And there's no peace. There's trouble. There's weariness. There's unrest. There's anxiety. All this going on. Do I really want to make decisions that are influenced by this angry mob inside of me? That I know I'm going to regret later. It always feels right at the time when we're all worked up in our hearts and minds. Are you all with me tonight on this? But peace is standing outside our hearts and minds. Say, wait a second, how'd you get by me? No. I want to check your purse. Amen. What's in the bag? Empty your pockets.
Amen.
Take off your belt, take off your shoes, take off your socks. Put your socks back on. I mean, it just does everything. Now, honestly, it is an inconvenience to have to go through all that security. But I'm sure glad once I'm inside that we don't have to worry about somebody going off with some type of weapon that could have got caught outside there if we just let people in. The peace of God will do this. Adam Clark, another Bible teacher from many years ago, said this: when a man loses his peace, it is an awful proof that he has lost something else, that he has given way to evil and grieved the Spirit of God. While peace rules, all is safe. See, this peace is an inner calmness of emotions and thoughts which rest on the assurance that God is too good to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Well, I want to read that again. This peace is an inner calmness of emotions and thoughts which rest on the assurance that God is too good to be unkind and he's too wise to make mistakes. The peace in this verse is not the same as our peace with God, which is a result of being saved. It's a peace of God. The Bible goes on to say at the end of this verse, and be ye thankful. It's saying be thankful now and continue to be thankful. Don't just be thankful once as an act, but be thankful as a person. We're not just being thankful at the moment or as an act that we perform, but we're being thankful. We're becoming thankful. Where gratitude will naturally come to a heart that understands all that God has done. See, when there is peace in the heart, there will be praise in the lips. There will be. And when we really consider all that God has done, that will produce peace. That will produce peace. And when there's peace in the heart, genuine peace, there will be gratitude. Romans 5:1, who can't be thankful for this? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, once you got saved, you're saved forever. You're not just saved now. You're not just saved next year. I mean, you are saved now despite you, that you are God's child. And 1,000 years from now, you're going to be with Christ. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Mark chapter 5 verses 32 through 34. And he looked round about. This is talking about the woman who had that issue of blood. And she went for 12 years trying to find a cure, and saw a whole lot of doctors and medical professionals, spend all of her resources. And Jesus was now her last and only hope. Of course, he was really her first hope to begin with. And so she said inside of herself, if I might touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole, shall be made whole. And you know the story, how there was a big mob, a lot of people bumping up against him, and she just finds her way to crawl or however she did it, but with the little strength she had remaining in her body, reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment, and the Bible says virtue came out of him and healed that woman completely of that disease. And Jesus, sensing that virtue, healing virtue, had come out of him, and somebody had just got healed of something special. Now, he already knew in his omniscience, God knows all things, but to teach a lesson, he said, hey, who touched me? Glory. Who touched me? I'll read the verse in Mark 5. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Again, remember that he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, a lot of people have touched you. Yeah. No, but there's someone just got a miracle.
Yeah. Amen.
But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, go in peace. Everything is going to be okay. See, that's what the peace of God tells us. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Now, we didn't have her saying, but Lord, I already spent all my money. What do you mean everything's going to be okay? Yeah, I'm healed now, but where do I go from here? How do I start over again? Look, if he brought healing to her physical body and he was aware of this woman and singled her out, don't you think that he was going to continue to let her story to be written? This was not the end of her story. It was a new beginning of her story. If he was willing to do that in her life and could do that in her life, she should have enough faith that everything else is going to come into play as well. The same way she trusted God to heal her body, she could trust him for everything else in her life. And what we're saying, if you and I could trust God for salvation and even forgiveness of our sins, and he's our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, listen, that same Jesus that loves you and saved you, and if you consider the miracle involved in you hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel and accepting the gospel, that same Jesus is going to make sure everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
Everything's going to be okay.
Good.
Go in peace. Romans 8:27 to 28, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So a peaceful heart, excuse me, will result in gratitude. And let me say also, a prayerful life results in gratitude. Philippians 4:6, and I won't spend a lot of time on this because I've preached a whole message on this, but I do want to touch on it while we're here. A prayerful life results in gratitude. In Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. It means anything that causes us anxiety or stresses our mind or causes us to have some challenges of heart and mind, that the Bible says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, what does the Bible say now? With thanksgiving. Not and thanksgiving, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, that every prayer and supplication that we offer to God is to, we're to make sure we have thanksgiving with it. You know, there are a lot of different types of breads. Banana bread and oat bread and rye bread and, you know, all different types of bread. One of the things they all have in common, I would guess, now some of you might be extra special bakers and correct me on this, but typically there's some type of flour that you have to have with the eggs and with, am I right to say that? Can you have bread without some type of flour? Yeah? No? You gotta have some type of flour? Yeah, okay. See, I'm a good cook. Yeah, I've watched the Food Network now and then. And so, but I'm saying you have to have that with it. You can't just have banana nut bread. You gotta have something, you can have flour with that or whatever the bread is, cinnamon bread. You're gonna have flour with that. You can't have the bread without the flour. What he's saying, don't offer any prayers and don't offer any supplications without thanksgiving. It won't bake. It won't be a full prayer. It's a catalyst. I had a whole message on that, where prayer, thanksgiving is a catalyst. Once you mix thanksgiving with our prayers, it gets to heaven and gets God moving. Like I'm telling you, God desires and loves to be praised, and the praise of His children, the gratitude of His children. I mean, it moves the heart, it moves the hand of God in a way that's very unique and very special. Amen. But let me wrap things up tonight by saying, lastly, a concern for God's will results in gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is our last turn to tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you would please. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. A concern for God's will results in gratitude. Verse 18, the Bible says, in everything, do what? And give thanks. And notice what else this verse says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is always the will of God for a believer to be grateful. That means when I'm not grateful, am I performing the will of God? No. It is always the will of God for a believer to be grateful. A believer that is right with God and in the will of God can and should be grateful for everything. If I am not able to be grateful for everything, then it may be a sign. It may be a sign that I am not in the will of God, but certainly even if I am in the will of God, I am not right with God. So if I'm not grateful, if my heart is struggling with being grateful to the Lord, at the very minimum, my heart is not where it needs to be. I must be right with God in my heart if I am to know the will of God for my life. Ungrateful Christians will always struggle with the will of God. If I'm ungrateful to the Lord, I will always struggle. I will always have struggles. I'll have struggles in the will of God in every area. Not that things go wrong. I mean, it's because things are challenging us to us, and whether there are things that are going wrong in our definition, doesn't mean we're not in the will of God. We can't control people around us. Amen. We understand that. But I can control how I respond and how I meditate and how I react. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, I just want to read this. Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. See, gratitude isn't just something that develops within us because of the good things that happen in our lives. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He gives us a sense of victory and triumph over the issues of life so that we can live in the valley the same way we live on the mountaintop. In Philippians 4, Paul, in verses 11 through 13, gives us this exact teaching. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He's saying, I know how to live in the valley, and I know how to live on the mountaintop. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One person said, where there is a reason for gratitude, there can always be found a reason for bitterness. It is here that we're faced with the freedom to make a decision. We can decide to be grateful or to be bitter. But that's our choice. We are filled with the Spirit when we learn how to count our blessings instead of our crosses, when we learn how to count our gains instead of our losses, when we learn how to count our joys instead of our woes, when we learn how to count our friends instead of our foes, when we learn how to count our smiles instead of our tears, and when we learn how to count on our courage instead of our fears, when we learn how to count on God's riches instead of earthly wealth, and when we realize we can count on God instead of ourselves. See, it's all a matter of perspective. It's the difference between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with self. Helen Keller, the famous woman from many years ago who was born both blind and deaf and was considered to be a mute, once made an observation when she was growing up. She said, quote, "I've often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days, sometime in early adult life. Darkness would make them more appreciative of sight, and silence would teach them the joys of sound." Amen. I once read that in Africa there is a little berry called the taste berry. It is called by that name because it changes your taste so that everything you eat tastes sweet and pleasant. Once you eat the taste berry, everything you eat directly after that, no matter how bitter it might be, will all of a sudden now taste sweet and pleasant. So they call it the taste berry. Someone has said that gratitude is the Christian's taste berry. If you take the attitude of gratitude and devour it in your being, it turns even the difficult, sour things into the sweet. You know, the Christian ought to be, you know what gratitude is? It's heavenly cologne. It's heavenly perfume. You can only get it in one place. Where'd you get that? Oh, I got it from heaven. When there's some people and they walk in a room. Now, you know, you can smell them. Maybe their perfume or their cologne but you can tell somebody's walked in a room. Now hopefully it's a good scent. I know there have been times, I remember when I was in high school, Old Spice was a big deal. Yeah, and you could tell when after basketball practice or football practice, the guys were done and we were on the scene because you smelled Old Spice from a mile away. You know, you knew we were coming. And people ought to be able to smell the fragrance of heaven when you and I enter the room. And that perfume and that cologne is gratitude. Gratitude. When we are filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will help us to be grateful.